Well, good morning again and Merry Christmas. Back in high school, some of you know that I am a runner and I have been a runner for a good long while. Well, back in high school, our cross country team was very good and we took our mission to run fast seriously. And we loved to do that and we loved to put in the hard work for the sake of beating our competitors. We were a little competitive. I might still be a little competitive, admittedly. But there were days that we just did not feel like it. Do you ever have one of those days? That even the things you would normally like to do, you just do not feel like doing? In fact, you would rather just not get out of bed. I feel like some people have had more of those days lately than even before. Well, there was a day in high school when we did not feel like doing the workout that our coach had perhaps foolishly told us was awaiting us when we got back from our warm-up. And so, we ran away from our workout. That is to say, we knew we were supposed to run 400 repeats. That's once around the track, fast, and then you keep doing it over and over again. And so, when we got back from our warm-up, we knew we would have to do that, and so we just, well, we didn't come back. Of course, we realized, as we were coming back, that eventually we'd have to come back to the track because our parents expected to pick us up at some point. And so then we ran to an area close by to the school, and we just sat there trying to figure out what excuse we could possibly come up with for why we had not come back. Our coach had a popular saying. He would say when we got to a meet, especially a big meet, we were all nervous for it, he would say, "The hay is in the barn." That is, you've already put all the hard work in. This is the fun part. Now you get to show off all the hard work you've done. And here was an opportunity to do that hard work, but we just didn't feel like it. Do you ever have something on your never-ending to-do list that you know you should do, you know you need to do, you even know that life will be better once you do, but you still really struggle to bring yourself to actually doing it? I wonder if that is how all of Christianity has dealt with Mary's song. We know we should set about living into this vision, but it just seems so difficult. This song has been my favorite part of Wednesday nights lately. We've been singing it every Wednesday. If you tune in to the Wednesday night candlelight evening prayer, beautiful words of promise and of hope of what God is doing among us in Jesus. Yes, the world feels like it's falling apart around us in the heat of summer and constant storms, not only with this virus that seems incapable of getting under control, but horrific hurricanes and storms and floods, explosions near and far, racism, political slander, healthcare, and educational inequities. But even with all of that happening, these words bring us promise. Maybe along with all of the heartache and suffering and frustration, the poor will finally be lifted up and the powerful brought down. Maybe the hungry will be filled with good things and the rich sent away empty. Maybe those who have been too proud will be humbled. Maybe God's mercy will be revealed to us anew in this generation. In this time. I know it's been said before, but do we really want to go back to how things were before all of this began? I mean, certainly we want to again be in the position to hug one another and to share meals together and to sing praises to God together here in this sanctuary. But do we want to go back to our individualistic mindset that got us into this mess? Do we want to go back to an economy where the rich get richer and the poor get poorer? Do we want to go back to ignorance about the pain and suffering of people of color? Maybe Mary's song is calling out to us today, inviting us to reimagine what God might yet do among us, how God's promises might yet come to fruition. So why don't we just do it already? It's been over 2,000 years. Isn't it about time? The Lutheran response, of course, being a Lutheran pastor, is that it is God who does this. It is only by God's grace that any of us live into it at all. We are instruments of God. And that is true. But don't we also sometimes run away from Mary's song as too hard, too ambitious, too unrealistic? So my question is, why not now? Haven't we all felt the urgency? I will tell you today that we are living into it. Jesus lived into it when he fed the 5,000. The early church lived into it as they gave up their individual wealth and cared for one another in community. Luther did it when he claimed that the rulers who held all the power in the society in his day should put bread on their coats of arms because they were failing their people if there was anyone going hungry. We are living into Mary's song today as people take in neighbors who have lost their housing, as we try to help those who are on the verge of being evicted, as we advocate for an extension of the eviction moratorium, as we collect toys so that those who do not have enough will still be able to celebrate fully Christ among us, as we not only feed the hungry with good things, but start to ask why they are stuck in that situation in the first place. Mary's song has been played on repeat for 2,000 years. Maybe now is simply the time to turn up the volume, to run towards the challenge, and see a Christmas miracle in hearts that are more readily willing to see Christ in their hurting neighbor. Mary's song will be fulfilled in baby steps and in great waves, in God's time, until in the fullness of time, Christ comes again and ushers in the kingdom of God for all. May God prepare room in our hearts for Mary's words of promise and hope. May we have eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts to join in Mary's song. Christ was born for this. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.